Hello, and welcome to the Brutal Iron Gym Podcast, where our goal is to cut through the BS and deliver the brutal truth about topics related to health and happiness. Today's podcast is number 727. The topic is training, and the title is Specialty Bars for Squatting. Just a little kind of side note, unfortunately, my regular computer died on me, so I am using a replacement computer and kind of some replacement parts, so hopefully the sound on this is still good. I did test it, and it seems like it'll work well, but I hope everything's good, and I hope everybody gets this message. So a little bit of patience if there's some crackling or weirdness or anything seems off, but thank you for tuning in. What we're going to do today is talk about specialty bars for squatting. I had somebody send in a question. Actually, it was an online client of mine, somebody who follows my programming, and they were asking why I had programmed different types of bars for them. So it's a larger sized guy, and he wants to kind of, just a big fella in regards to, I think he's like 6'3", 6'4", oh gosh, just, dang, I am sorry, I don't even remember your body weight right now, but I think it's high twos or low threes. No, it's high twos. Heck, I don't know. But the reason why it doesn't matter much is he wants to lose body fat, he wants to build muscle, and increase mobility and all this, and that is independent of how much he weighs. So I do pay attention to certain numbers, but some things don't matter as much as people think they do. So the reason why I say that is he has fat to lose, he has muscle to gain. So as we go through that process of getting him to train more aggressively, getting him to train more completely in regards to sets, reps, formats, concepts, and this and that, he's going to gain muscle tissue, which is actually going to make him weigh heavier. But at the same time, by going through all that activity and training like a beast, he's going to have a lot of muscle damage that chews up body fat for him. Plus, he's also following a controlled diet that we have written for him, and that's going to help lose body fat. So he has the muscle building that's going to gain weight, he has the fat loss that's going to lose weight, and he's going to kind of feel like he's not going anywhere weight-wise while he sees a change in his base foundation of body composition. And then as the muscle gains kind of slow down, as they always do due to the law of accommodation, he will still see some fat loss effects, and eventually the weight will start to come down. But the reason why I don't get too worried about weight is because you're looking at the wrong thing. He wants to improve his body composition, not just lose weight. So he wants to build muscle, lose fat, which can actually mean that most people don't have much of a weight change. Their weight change may be only, say, you know, an average of a month, they might only lose 4 to 6 pounds. And they think, man, that's not very successful. Bullshit. You probably lost about 10 pounds of fat, but you gained some muscle. So there's going to be a lot of underlying things changing that sometimes people can't even see. Because if you're building muscle underneath 3 inches of fat, you're not really going to see that. So if you lose a half inch of fat, you build a half inch of muscle, but there's still 2.5 inches of fat over top of everything, you're never going to see any of that. So a lot of times people will say, I don't feel like smaller, I just feel different in my clothes. Maybe my shoulders, my chest, my back are a little tighter, my shirts, the belly's a little looser. Maybe the belly and my pants are a little looser, but the thighs and the butt are a little tighter. So they're going to feel a change in their clothes, and they're going to feel a change in the way that they feel, but they won't be able to quantify it with like weight lost or inches changed or this or that. So that's why I stumbled over knowing what his weight was, because it doesn't even matter right now. We're just getting him healthy. We're getting the foundations of muscle building created. We're getting the foundations of fat loss created. We're setting up an environment for just crazy awesome long-term success, but it does take time. Okay, so now that I talked my way through that, what he wanted to know mostly was the difference of specialty bars that I'd used to prepare him for squatting. And I wanted to pretty much look at camber bar, safety squat bar, and a duffalo slash buffalo bar, and I'll explain all that stuff in a second. But there's three types of bars that I use on a regular rotation along with a regular straight bar, like a regular barbell. And I wanted to talk about the pros and cons differences and just get that out there. So that way, if anybody's interested in how to better utilize these bars or best utilize these bars, they will then know that and they will be able to kind of use it for themselves. And then also this will answer it for that client and also for my other clients as well. There is individual differences. So what I'm going to talk about today are kind of the general reasons why you would use these bars. But I do have very specialty reasons when I have individual clients to where if I have them use, for example, a safety squat bar but a wide stance and I tell them to stay upright in the squat as much as possible, that's because we're really trying to dig into those high adductors and hamstring connectors. That wouldn't be the way in which they might normally use a safety squat bar, but I'm dictating their positioning because I know what muscles I want to stress. So when I talk about the benefits of a safety squat bar or a camber bar or a Duffalo bar, it's going to be within the realm of you squatting it like you quote-unquote normally would. But if you do any specialty positions, like such as a very uprighted squat or a Kang squat, which is a weird variation of a squat in a good morning. But if you do a variation, you can change how these bars emphasize, what they emphasize and how they emphasize those things. So there's a lot more variation even to just what I'm going to talk about today. However, this is a great place to start and for people to kind of build from. The idea of this is I've been training myself for 20 years with weights. I've been training clients for 18 years. I've been a personal trainer for 18 years. I've worked with over 2,000 people, taught the university level for 7.5 years, over 500 students. I've done a lot, okay? And there's no way in a 20-minute podcast I can sum up 18 years of education of variations of a squat. Not possible. So I'm going to give you a good starting place, but you're going to have to kind of build from this. You're going to get a better head start than I did, so maybe it won't take you 18 years to learn what I learned, and I'm actually hoping that's the case. That's why I make these podcasts. I want to give back to people what I did not have. What took me years and years of trial and error to find out, I would love to just give it to you, you know, wrapped up in a 20-minute segment and have you start at a hell of a lot better place. So the lessons I learned, I'm trying my best to implement into these podcasts so you don't have to learn all of them on your own. So let's get into it and then just know that there are some variances that you're going to have to kind of work through on your own but to better understand these bars. So a camber bar, and if you don't know what any of these are, I would suggest you pause the podcast when I say the bar name and then Google an image of it or YouTube a video of the bar so that we have a better visual understanding to combine with the auditory information you're going to get here. So a camber bar is a bar that rests across your upper back just like a regular barbell would. However, about a foot or two out from each side, the bar actually comes down about a foot or two and then extends out. So this is a lack of a better word, a term here. It's almost like an upside down like bucket or an upside down U. Is the bar goes across your back, a foot extended on each side of your body. Then it goes a foot or two, like give me some leeway here in the measurements. So it goes across your upper back, it goes a foot or two out to the sides of your body. It then comes down a foot or two and then extends out, and that's where you put the weights. So the weights actually hang below the part of the bar that hangs on your back. So this creates like a swinging kind of effect to where if I have the bar on me and I lean forward, the weights are going to swing forward. If I lean back, the weights are going to swing back. And it has this camber, which is the extension of how low below the bar on your back is where the plates are. That's what the camber is referred to as. So the bar sits on your back, but the weights hang lower than that, about midsection area. So not all the way down to the hips on most people, more so in the belly area, kind of belly height. So what that does is you get to have your hands, if you choose to, you don't have to have your hands up on the bar at the same height you normally would for a regular barbell, where your shoulders are in extreme external rotation. Your hands are on the bar almost behind your head in terms of like distance. And you're really trying to crank down on that bar to get upper back tightness. This bar allows you to have your hands on the vertical posts of the bar that have that kind of drop down to the extensions. So again, if you're having trouble following this, YouTube or Google the image of the bar. But what that does is, since your hands get to be lower, you have an ease of external rotation stress in your shoulders. This is extremely beneficial for people who have external rotation issues in their shoulders. Another benefit of this is, like, if somebody squats the day before they bench press and they already have limited or stressed external rotation mobility, if they have too much stress in their shoulders in squatting on a regular barbell, it can limit their barbell bench press performance the very next day. So they might want to choose barbell squatting variations, such as the camber bar or the other bars we'll talk about, that reduce external rotation stress on squat day, so that way they don't have that external rotation stress carried over into bench day. These are typically people who are going to be larger with lack of mobility. They can actually choose to squat with specialty bars a lot to still build their squatting strength or squatting power, and you can actually still use proper technique cues in these specialty bars. So it's not like you're actually doing a different squat that you'd have to relearn how to squat afterwards. So you can build strength, you can still enforce really good cues, but you get to ease off on the external rotation stress, which is extremely helpful, like I said, for people with external rotation limitations and or just issues. So that's one of the major benefits. And due to that lower positioning of the weights, where the weights hang lower than the bar that's actually on your back, and that lower hanging position decreases stress on the thoracic spine, which is the mid back, the upper mid back. That's like between the shoulder blades, basically. That's going to reduce how tight that area needs to be in order for you to still be able to squat. So that area actually gets less of a workload on a camber bar than compared to a regular barbell squat. So it's less overall postural stress, which translates into more overall leg stress. This is important to know, because a camber bar, if you squat with that all the time, you're actually going to detrain your postural strength, your postural awareness in squats. This sometimes is not a bad thing in any way, because somebody might be doing a sequencing, say like a 4-week cycle, 8-week cycle, whatever program cycles they run. They might be training a period of time where they're using the camber bar to ease postural stress, but they're doing really freaking heavy variations of conventional sumo deadlifts that really stress the postural stress. So they might be pulling back on squat day in regards to a postural stress component, so then they can push forward and do an even more aggressive variation of postural stress on their deadlift day. Something that's important to remember is, we only have a certain amount of recovery ability. So if I'm taxing my postural stress maximally on both squat and deadlift day, I can actually start to accumulate postural stress fatigue that limits the ability for me to maximally stress my legs. I may end up having postural stress issues later in a cycle that prohibits me from increasing weight loads, rather than having it be the legs that are the things being stressed. It's actually the postural stress that's maximized, and therefore you're actually missing on some of the leg development possibility or growth or potential. So that's something to consider, is that camber bar does lessen postural stress. But that can be a good thing. However, it also can be a bad thing, is if you don't have something that's countering the lessening on squat day, then you're just overall lessening postural stress, which is okay if somebody's getting through a postural stress like injury or issue, or if they're, say, an aesthetic athlete and they don't really want, they don't want thicker spinal erectors. They want more of like just true leg growth. Camber bar is a great one to reduce some of the postural stress and really get like leg growth. So I do this a lot with females, to where they already have the adequate lower back strength that they would need, but we want to continue to grow their legs and grow their legs and grow their legs. So they should be squatting with camber bars way more often than I ever see people actually do. So if you're a female or male, but most often it happens in females, they want to grow their thighs and their glutes, but they don't want like, you know, something really heavy on their upper back. They don't want to stress out their lower back. Squat with a camber bar. You're missing out enormous, enormous benefits on aesthetics. If you're an aesthetic athlete or an aesthetic goals, you absolutely should be squatting with a camber bar on a regular basis. So I do that with my female clients in person all the time, because our gym has a camber bar. We actually have two variations of camber bars. So that's an enormous kind of effect that is important to note for aesthetic athletes, that's independent of kind of like strength athletes. The other thing that's kind of beneficial about a camber bar is it often allows for a lower depth. So how low people squat can be limited by very, very many reasons. But one of the common reasons is a lack of range of motion mobility when you look at the postural chain. If you look from their thoracic spine, their shoulder blades, through their lower back, in their glutes, and then through their hamstrings and adductors, they don't have a lot of stretch range there. So when you stress the postural muscles with a regular barbell and they have to have more of a hinge variation of a squat, they will run out of material in terms of like stretchiness of their muscles that actually holds them back from getting to parallel or getting lower. So if you use a camber bar, this often allows them to have a little bit more of an uprated upper body positioning, which then allows for more stretch allowance in the hamstrings and adductors and glutes, which then allows them to sit lower. This is a great way for a strength athlete to get into squatting to parallel kind of positioning and building that musculature and that strength awareness, stabilization, bracing, you know, positional awareness, so they can eventually become more comfortable in that position with a bar on their back. It also is awesome, like we said, for aesthetic athletes, because you really want to get that nice range of motion deep down into the upper hamstrings and lower glutes by sitting low into the squat, so that way you can get that booty pop, you can get that upper hamstring growth, you can get that separation between the glutes and the hamstrings developed by squatting nice and low. So the other benefit, the last benefit we have of camber bar, is it helps to identify bar path. So if you're using this bar to change or affect technique, what it does for technique offering in terms of how to make you better at technique is to give you more awareness of the bar path. So as you come down in the squat, most people drift forward because they're either lack of mobility in adductors and hamstrings and glutes, and or their over-dominance in quads or over-reliance on quads compared to hip strength. So as they squat down, the bar path, if you look at the end of the bar from directly on the side of the squat, the bar actually drifts forward of their center of gravity and actually is kind of like a vertical plane over top of their toes rather than over top of the middle of their foot. This is going to cause more stress in the quads and low back, less utilization, less growth, less stimulus in the upper hamstrings and glutes. So that bar, the camber bar, as you come down and drift forward, those weights that are hanging to your side will drift forward as well. And then when you go to stand up, you'll feel the bar kind of swing a little bit back and forth. And there are different reasons in which, like, different ways in which somebody will feel the bar swing, identify different types of incorrect technique components. So one of the ones, though, you'll see is a person will come down, and at the bottom of their squat, and then when they transition into driving up, the bar will kick forward. And that shows them that they're driving up through their quads or they came down through their quads. It just identifies that they are out of positioning and they're too far forward. They need to focus more on heel pressure on the way down. They also probably need to work on mobility of their adductors and hamstrings. That can be improved by foam rolling before the squats. It can also be improved by just being mindful of external rotation of the knees, so that way they can open up the space of their upper leg bone, their thigh bone, into the hip socket and actually allow for a deeper squat. Too often people's knees cave in to protect them from going any lower because it jams the upper thigh bone into the hip socket and gives a false sense of stabilization security when it's actually just the joints kind of smooshing together and then they can't get any lower. It's because they don't have strong enough external rotation. So when you see somebody who squats really heavy, their belly shoots forward, their knees cave inward, and they always stop like an inch or two above parallel. And, you know, people are always like, oh, that's not parallel squat. And they're like, it's as low as I can go. It's as low as you can go because you're weak as shit in your internal in your internal glute muscles that deal with external rotation, you're weak in your adductors and you're weak in your upper hamstrings. So you need to improve those areas to improve your depth. Don't just tell everybody, you know, make up bullshit things about people can't judge depth and blah, 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 blah. Just learn how to freaking squat the right way. So that's going to help a lot. Then what we want to do is just being aware of that bar kick, that swinging of the bar. It'll give you better feedback. So if you can go down and up and the weights don't swing much, then you're probably in a very good position. So that is the camber bar. That was a pretty long explanation, but I'm hoping that's what you tuned into this one for because of the title. So hopefully that was helpful. Now, in comparison, the safety squat bar, what this is it's a bar that has kind of like what looks like a shoulder pad component to it. There's a pad that goes across your neck, pads that go beside your neck, coming to handles that come to the front of your body. So the safety squat bar, again, eases shoulder external rotation because your hands get to be on these handles that are in front of your body, actually. So again, if you don't know what a safety squat bar is, pause the podcast. Search for safety squat bar on Google or YouTube, and you'll see it. So this bar has the shoulder pads. One of the components of this is the bar actually sits much higher on your body than people recognize. So the weight load is actually higher. That's going to factor into what the major component, conceptual difference of this bar versus the camber bar is it has an increased thoracic spine stress. So it's actually more postural stress than the camber bar, which actually decreases stress. And in the middle would be a barbell squat. So the lowest degree of stress of these three bars is the camber bar. The middle is a regular barbell. And the highest degree of postural stress is a safety squat bar. Now, a safety squat bar does have a small degree of camber. And the camber is actually off-centered to the handle angle to actually create what's called a forward rotational stress due to the weight load. So it actually tries to fold you over as you get heavier and heavier, and that's part of what increases that postural stress. What this bar does is it helps you learn how to squeeze your thoracic spine, squeeze the musculature of your shoulder blades to squeeze them together and down, and maintain mid-back tightness as you squat. So this challenges and stresses the postural areas of the squat. Whereas the camber bar reduced the postural stress, you could focus more on legs. So a safety squat bar is great for learning how to brace the middle back and positioning during a squat. Little side note, there's a member of the gym who I feel bad because they got programming from somebody who's supposed to be a good coach, but they're not, in the sense that they are overwhelmed with online clients, and I know they're not doing a good job. But this member of the gym has really, really strong upper back. His upper back rounds when he deadlifts and squats, but he can deadlift and squat like over 600 pounds. And the reason why his back rounds is because his quads are weak, his thighs are weak. He overuses his lower back and mid back in squat and deadlift. He does not have strong glutes. He does not have strong legs. He's like 6'4", and he has skinny legs and no glutes. The person who trained him saw that his back was rounding over and thought it was a weakness, so they made this person squat with a safety squat bar about a million times. It was stupid as hell because they're actually reinforcing his discrepancies. So the last year and a half I've watched this person not get any better in squats and deadlifts, and actually they're more worse off now. They have like more joint pains and things because the discrepancies of strength and weaknesses has increased rather than decreased. They have not balanced themselves out. They switched from, you know, regular powerlifting to trying to powerlift in like single ply gear. That hurt, of course, because nothing was balanced correctly in their joints, and now they're kind of like left without knowing what to do. And it's so sad to watch this because this person works their ass off, but because the person training them doesn't know how to properly utilize these barbells, they don't know how to properly identify weaknesses, you watch this person waste a year and a half of their life, and it's so damn frustrating that coaches suck ass and they spend money and they have people spend money on them and they can't identify these damn weaknesses and things. It's just, oh, it's so frustrating because if you take people's money, you better know what you're doing, and you better try to learn and get better and improve. So over the year and a half, that client really never got better. That person never trained, the trainer of theirs never changed their approach, and you watch this person just fizzle out in a year and a half, nothing improves. Holy hell, so frustrating. So If your upper back rounds on a squat or a deadlift, that isn't a direct indicator that that's actually the weak part. What happened in that person's case, and might be happening in your case, is your body is rounding its back to bring your hips further underneath the vertical stress load of the squat and the deadlift, so your hips don't have to work as hard, and instead it dumps the musculature into your thoracic spine, the weight load stress into your thoracic spine. How you will know this is you will have a very good developed lower back and mid back, but you'll have very little glutes, very thin legs. If you have that, if you have thinner legs and glutes and your back development looks better than your legs and glutes, and your back rounds, your back is rounded because it's strong, not because it's weak. Do not use a freaking safety squat bar. Use the camber bar. The camber bar takes away the postural stress, the ability for the postural muscles to take over, and forces it more into your legs. So they should be using the camber bar all the damn time to build their damn legs up, so then when they put stronger legs together with a strong back, bam, they get amazing and they feel super strong. So it's incredibly, incredibly important to understand the differences of these bars so you don't waste a year and a half of your life like that person did, not being able to improve, not being able to make any difference. Okay, so just a side note of frustration on my part. But the other difference is between these bars is that a safety squat bar does not automatically kind of inherently increase depth of squat. Some people will still run into the same issues of kind of lack of mobility to get low. And because they might have weak hips and weak legs, they might not want to get low anyhow because their body isn't strong in that position. So they'll naturally stay a little too high. So if you have depth problems, safety squat bar is not going to solve that. It's not going to help, okay? So the other thing is that safety squat bar does help to identify bar path issues, but it does it through postural stress feel, meaning as you come up, you will feel your back say, this is miserable, don't do this, and that's how you'll know you're out of position, whereas with the camber bar, you'll see the bar swing. So the camber bar as a softer nudge of knowing whether you're in position or out of position, whereas the safety squat bar is a slap in the face of knowing whether you're in position or out of position. So those are the two main bars that I'll use that I know are going to create significant stress changes from a barbell squat to that specialty variation of the squat. And I actually want those stress positioning differences. So I'll purposely use those at different times for those reasons. Now, there are many other reasons that I'll use them in blah, 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 blah. But like we said, this is a good place to start from. A buffalo bar or slash duffalo with a D. A buffalo bar is basically a bent bar. It's a bar that kind of has an overall arch to it. The weights don't hang much lower than a regular bar. Maybe only like, I'd say like 2-3 inches is where the bar comes out to. So it has enough of a bow that it sits across your back, but the ends of the bar are about 2 or 3 inches lower than where a bar normally would be. The Duffalo is a person named Chris Duffin who owns Kabuki Strength. They made their own variation of a Buffalo bar, and since his name is Duffin, they use the D to call it a Duffalo bar as his brand name. So a Buffalo bar, Duffalo bar, same damn thing. There is significant difference in the arching angles of the Duffalo bar, so I don't want to discredit the positioning of that bar. The Duffalo bar is a better variation of a Buffalo bar by far. So that is basically just regular squat benefits, but it has slightly less external rotation stress in the shoulders because your hands are a little bit lower, 2 or 3 inches lower per side than a regular bar. One of my favorite uses of a duffalo bar is actually front squats because the bar doesn't rotate. It can't flip over or roll away from you. Since the ends of the bar are slightly lower, it actually just kind of stays in place. So one of the biggest issues with front squats is that the bar folds, it kind of rolls away from you. It's hard to hold on to. People get bicep cramps if they can't do, or they just have like basically positional arch, like arm stress in some way. Whereas if you use the duffalo bar for front squats, that's a much better variation of a front squat. You can actually focus more on the actual muscles you're trying to target. So that's my best recommendation of a duffalo bar, is to use it for front squats. Cool. Okay. Hopefully this was helpful. It was a little bit long. I think we're nearing the 30-minute mark. Yeah, we're at 29 minutes and 26 seconds. But thank you for listening. I hope this was helpful. If you're an aesthetic athlete, using different barbells has tons of benefits. I would actually more so recommend you use the camber bar than the safety squat bar if you're an aesthetic athlete. If you're a strength athlete, you should use all three of these bars. in some variations for the purposes that we stated. Make sure you mix them up and emphasize different areas of your squat so that we can get stronger overall. If you want any help with programming, of course, I'm always happy to help. Our website is www.brutalirongym.com. I can help you with monthly programming. I can help you with creating a template. I can help you with knowing what your weaknesses are and which bars you should use. So we do corrective exercise therapy as a regular basis. I work with people all across the country and in Europe. I've worked with people in Austria, people in Spain, people in England for corrective exercise therapy, ways to identify weaknesses and in order to find variations of movements that help benefit them. So I'm pretty damn good at it, and I don't normally toot my own horn, so hopefully that means something when I say it, is if you want any help in that stuff, please reach out. We'll find a way to help you. I promise I want to help you. I appreciate you listening to this podcast, and I want to make sure you get something from it. Then, if you have any questions or any email suggestions or anything like that, we're always happy to hear from you. The podcast is for you, so like this person wanted to know about this topic, tell us what you want to know about, and we'll make a podcast for it. You can let us know at our email, brutalirongym@gmail.com. If you like the podcast, you think it's helpful, if you think other people would benefit from listening to this, please share the podcast. You can share it on social media, email, text message, conversation, however. The more you share it, the more people we can help, so I really appreciate that. And then if you want more information similar to this, you can always find more from us on our social media channels of Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter under the name Brutal Iron Gym. As always, I hope this was helpful, and thank you for listening.